I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kia ora and welcome to another Aotearoa Rugby Pod. Now, one of the key points of discussion over the last few weeks has been one of the All Blacks squad, but also the All Blacks 15 squad and what that means for the branding, the All Blacks brand, for the development of New Zealand rugby players, and also for the players who didn't make either squad. Having 70 players who considered the best in the country, does that say to the people who thought they were on the fringes but weren't, maybe it's time to go? We've got one of those people, a lot of chat today about Shaun Stevenson, whether or not he's going to go and play in the NRL with the Dolphins. That's the word. We have him on the show. We'll give you the answers. We'll investigate these topics and find out what's going on. We'll also have a chat about the Women's Rugby World Cup and, of course, the NPC final as well. So before we carry on, of course, James Parsons in studio, Bryn Hall in Japan. Guys, we're going to have a third North Harbour person on the show.
Third, aren't you honorary?
Well, yeah. Something like that. I've spent so much time talking about it. I certainly know your players better than the county's players. So before we get to Shaun Stevenson, and I'm sure you guys have got plenty that you want to know from Shaun Stevenson, although we're going to have to let you go before Shaun comes along.
I'm devastated. Any chance to talk NRL, and I'm missing my opportunity.
Yeah, unfortunately, Jip has got a few other things to get to. Women's Rugby World Cup. We had another really interesting weekend in the game, England versus France, and there was one stark thing that stood out for me that marks England apart from all the other teams. And it's a massive thing in rugby, territory. They are probably the only team that can effectively play territory, Jipper, and to me that says they're unstoppable.
And it was the difference between them winning and losing that game. They probably didn't perform as well as they would have liked. But because they played down the right end of the park, yeah, they might not have executed and scored as many points, but they still got the job done. And I've been reading a few articles from their local newspapers back up north, and man, they're pretty brutal. Like, they're like, oh, the cracks are starting to show. But I think with the intensity, I mean, there was even a few scraps. It was a great test match and a sign of things to come when we get into these knockout stages of how tight these fixtures are going to be.
What's it out for you, Brent?
Yeah, I think it's just that. I think probably the execution side of it is one thing they'll want to clean up, and knowing that, you know, they probably left a few points out there. But yeah, it's the kicking stats. You know, England had 33 kicks and, you know, France had 31. France tried to obviously play the kick battle with England, but, you know, a few aimless kicks here and there was probably the difference when it came to the kicking with England. You know, Harrison, if they feel like they're going nowhere, they've got the opportunity then to be able to put it back into the pocket. And she's got a very good kicking game, whether it be long or contestable, and then being able to have that line defense, which, you know, both teams showed some pretty good defensive systems. You know, it was only 13-7, and, you know, there's a lot of physical breakdowns as well. So, you know, that's one thing that I think the Black Ferns will have to look. No doubt they'll be looking forward to Scotland in the first stages. But, you know, the New Zealand team are the complete opposite. You know, they only have, you know, single-figure digits of kicking, you know what I mean? So it's going to be a battle of contrasts, of styles, if it does come to that. But, you know, England, they're still going to be tough. You know, they probably didn't think they played to their expectation, but, you know, their kicking game, there's going to be one massive difference coming forward in these later parts of this World Cup.
I think the French can't be knocked out either. Like, they lost arguably their two best players early on in the first quarter. And that changes the whole dynamic, especially that 8-9 combo, as you'd know, Bryn, is quite crucial to, you know, sort of that strike attack off set piece, but also, you know, maybe the accuracy of the kicking game coming from 9, and we know how effective they are. But, I mean, I know they've got a 1-2 punch, but Sinzus is preferred. So it's... It's more for me is, does it damage them too much? But you'd have to say, based on the stats and where they got to being within reaching distance of winning, I still think they're a real threat, and they might even grow from some actual belief from that and be able to, you know, go all the way themselves.
The defence certainly was very, very good. They managed to contain England in a lot of ways. But the composure of the English Bryn, it seemed, you know, it was a big game. It was the most important game of pool play, and they were composed and they got there.
Yeah, they were. And I think that shows the good signs of a great team, and, you know, probably the reason why they won so test matches consecutively. You know, a lot of those test matches, they probably haven't been tested, but, you know, on the weekend, you could think the occasion playing France, they've played them a lot in the Six Nations, but, you know, in a World Cup situation where France were in their game and, you know, if one or two things went their way and they got it right, you know, that result could have gone the other way. But, you know, with this England team at the moment, they find ways to win, and that's a sign of a good team. You win ugly, and, you know, they did that on the weekend, and they'll be able to, you know, get the review and hopefully continue to improve on their performance on the weekend.
If we're looking specifically at the Black Ferns, though, against England, they will need to be getting it out 9 times out of 10, because if they can take the Black Ferns from set piece to set piece, that's going to play into their hands. But on the flip side, if they don't get it out, the attacking mindset, you know, even leaving nothing out there from what we're seeing with the Black Ferns, if that continues, their chase will and their defensive line will have to be pretty sharp, because there's some serious weapons in that Black Ferns back three. You know, even in the midfield now, you know, Fitzpatrick and Brunt, like, the energy and the explosive power they have, you know, if that's coming from deep, even if it's, you know, a couple of phases, yes, they might not have to kick, protect that kicked area, so they'll be able to have more bodies in the defensive line, because they know Black Ferns are just going to run. They've still got to make the tackles on some pretty impressive athletes, which, you know, even though there isn't a kick strategy, that may be just what they've said, like, that's what we're going for. That's what we need to have a crack at. And that counter is very much Wayne Smith's arc, you know, like, he's big on that 15, 20 seconds from a turnover and or counter-attack, you can really make a difference and have a crack at an attack. But they will have to tidy up their breakdown and scrum, probably more so than their line-out, but the line-out more, you know, same sort of things we've spoken about, and probably leads towards this week of needing to pick the top 23 to make sure they can get that, you know, that cohesion together, so that they can at least get parity in those areas. They don't need to win those areas, they just need parity so that they can, you know, make hay while the sun shines in the areas that they're really good at.
The attacking kicks early on were really great. You know, Dumont put a little grubber through behind that kind of middle of the field where there's nobody there. And then obviously they saw the pitches around the crossfield kicks and did that a few times as well. So, like, it's good to see that, knowing that England, you know, they are going to bring a good defensive system in line, that they do have the opportunity to be able to use those attacking kicking games. But I think they just still need to have the opportunity to be able to have that kicking phase, because I think with England, if they're going to do contestables off 10 or kick long and we don't kick it back, you know, and they set a good 14, 13 defensive line, and we can't go through, got to be able to have a kicking game. So whether they're just going to throw it around and have a really good execution and be very disciplined around their breakdown and execution of their skill set, it would just be interesting to see if they do have an opportunity that they might see some kicking game, whether that be off Dumont or Hazel Chubbuck, even Renee Holmes and Kendra Coxedge as well, who we saw a little bit in the second half with your kicking game.
Could they get stuck? I mean, this is a big if. Hypothetically, they're playing England in the final. Is not having a territory kicking game going to be the end of that game? Like, if you're stuck in your 22, you're stuck in your 40. Is it too big a thing to overcome with pure attacking talent?
I'd normally, honestly, 10 times out of 10 say yes. But like I mentioned, when they played the Wallaroos, They're so committed to it that they actually piggyback themselves up the field with penalties and or line breaks. So I don't think it is said and done, but it is a very, very bold way to play. And especially a side of England's ability defensively, I just think if they can't break them down early, England are only going to grow in confidence and know that they can just put that ball down there. So maybe it's start with that, but if it's not going to plan, you know, we're almost the flip side, in my opinion, of what our kick strategy is. Almost kick it straight down the middle and just get a good chase. Mm. Don't go to set piece. You just got to keep it away from set piece as much as possible. But still, I think territory needs to occur, but probably not as much as what I'd normally say at international male test match level. I believe after watching a lot of these games that it can still win this World Cup, that mindset.
Mm. But if you're all attack and you don't get your discipline right, Bryn, it's even harder, isn't it? And they haven't got their discipline right.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. And, you know, if you're an England side or even a French side, like we saw in the Northern Hemisphere Tour, they're just going to take them to set piece, whether that be through the line-out maul. The French had some really good pay when they played the Black Ferns, being able to score off that with their nines roving in and around, being able to take their short side. But at scrum time as well, you look at Wales and their ability to be able to be real dominant in the scrum time in the first half especially. If you don't get your discipline right, you're just giving teams opportunities to be able to take you to set piece. And that's unfortunately a little bit of an Achilles heel for us at the moment. So I saw, you know, Wayne Smith talk about that in the Stuff article around, you know, their discipline was shocking and they've got to improve that, because you can get away with that at Wales and even the Wallaroos, I think. But, you know, when we're going to get to the stages of playing in England and the French side, the more times that we don't let them go to set piece, it sets us up much better being able to win those test matches.
If we can get parity at set piece, our phase play D has actually stood up. Because if you think about against the Wallaroos, what was it, 11 penalties in 46 minutes, and they're going to the corner, and it's actually, you know, withstood. They obviously, from that quick tap, scored wide, then there was an intercept. But other than that, Wales was the same. I think it was 9 penalties in the first half and then 8 in the second, 17 all up. They had ample opportunity to go down there, which they did, but they didn't come away with as many points as they should have. England and France aren't going to allow that. They will make hay while the sun shines. If we let them go from kicking to corners and mauling, it just makes it a tough, much tougher task. So discipline, yes, is going to be crucial in you know, giving them the best opportunity to win this World Cup.
And before we move on, the 23, you mentioned it earlier, what should be the top 23? They need to play their top team. Let's look at some key positions. The midfield,
yeah, that's
and
tough.
The loose forwards. Where do you see the top selections?
Well, if you start with the midfield, has Sylvia Brunt pushed her way into a starting team potentially? Like, I thought she was great off the bench, but she does have that ability to play that 23 role. You know, Flula was outstanding, so I don't know if she can get pushed out. So it's who plays in that 12 role. And I think defensively, Flula is a good fit. So I think she starts. I just don't know who that 12 is at the moment. And Lucy's, I think, you know, if Mickey Alitu's there, McMenamin, and then Hillany is probably your... But Bremner's in there now. Like, she was so strong on that left flank, held her edge really well. The other one is Locke. I think Ruse really played herself into contention to start. I think a lot of that will be around, you know, getting the biggest bodies there to stop set piece pressure. And then props, another one, Murray was outstanding off the bench coming back from injury. So I think she's pushed herself in there to definitely be in the 23, just what number.
Mm-hmm. What about the back three, Bryn? We saw Ruby Tui at fullback, which was probably another example of the fact that they don't really want to kick. So what do you see the back three looking like?
Well, it's pretty hard to go past, you know, obviously Portia Woodman starting, obviously, and then Ruby Tui, obviously, you can play on the wing. But then you've got Litianga as well, who's probably one of the best performing wingers, you know, with her time and playing the Wallaroos and even in the Northern Hemisphere Tour. So I'll probably go, if they're going to pick Ruby Tui and they're not going to have that kicking game with Renee Holmes, and obviously Hazel Chubuk, who can kick a little bit better, you'd like to think that they'd have Tui, Port Woodman and Litianga on the wings. So that would be my back three. But if you want more of a kicking game, you've got obviously Renee Holmes or Hazel Chubuk, but that would be my back three.
Just not sure if Litiang is back from injury. I think that would be their preferred back three. Maybe they know something we don't, and that may be the back three going into Scotland and she's fit and available. But I think that's the most elusive. I just felt like Ruby Tui, having that ability to roam from blind side wing to the open side, she might have been more effective on the wing. Mm. She's still really strong at 15, but I would hate us to waste that opportunity of just how being that blind side roving winger, and because she's so fit and works hard, she is just such a threat on both sides of the field when she's playing that wing. I don't know if fullback gives you that opportunity as much.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think if Letiang is not not fit, that's no obviously if she's not fit, then I think you go with Woodman and then Ruby Tui for those exact reasons, Chip. You know, the ability that she can rove and she can actually great finisher as well. And then you obviously have Hazel Chubbuck or Renee Holmes, who are more accustomed to being at that fullback role. So, but yeah, I think more importantly as well, I think Chip, you're talking around a lot. You've just got to be able to win our breakdown. If we don't win our breakdown, we're not be able to play fast. It's going to fall into the trap of these Northern Hemisphere teams, especially France and England, to be able to suffocate us. And then if we have no kicking game, then it's all based around out and it's out and out attack if we don't get that right.
Okay. Power rankings after 2 weeks. Top four.
Well, England, France, Black Ferns, not the Wallaroos. I don't think they're as convincing. Caught a couple of injuries now. So probably still, I know Wales got dealt to, but it's probably them sitting in fourth. There is those three and then the rest of the pack, really, at the moment. Italy's there. It's just quite an even. That next five of what the quarterfinals is going to be, it will be quite tight to see how that finishes up, especially with Fiji winning last minute against South Africa. So I'll go Wales. Well, it's Wales or Wallaroos, one of the two.
Okay, Bryn?
Yeah, copy and paste. Yeah, definitely copy and paste. You've just probably just switched around with Wales or even the Wallaroos. But yeah, there's just definitely the top three teams that you know, without a doubt, one, two and three very easily. And then there's a bit of a blanket over the other teams.
Yeah, Canada are two from two, but I just don't know if they've had the same competition as the other sides have had.
Cool. Now, before we move on, we've got Sean Stevenson, remember, coming up on the show to talk about whether or not he is going to go to the NRL. Before we move on, let's talk a little bit of NPC. The final this weekend, Wellington versus Auckland. Everyone's got great memories of that 2000 final with Jonah and Cully, and that was the last time that Wellington won a final. They've got to go to Christchurch. And that in itself is pretty bloody difficult. So the question I'm asking you is, if Wellington can win, why do they win?
Well, I'll use a semi on the weekend because Bay of Plenty took the chance to take threes from quite a long range out. And I just feel to beat Canterbury at home, you've got to score points. You've got to get that gap early, and you've got to take your opportunities. And I think if there's ever a side that's informed to score points and have the right attitude, it'll be them turning down threes and going to the corner and backing themselves. And they've got enough special players, special moves, so much artillery in that Wellington attack. I think it would be wasted trying to chip away in threes early on. I think if you want to win in Christchurch, you just got to go after it and go all in. And that'll be... And I think Duplessis Karifi's in that headspace. Like he's going to win it. He's not going to sit there and hope that they can hold on tight. And not forgetting that they played their round robin game in Christchurch, and it was really tight up until Dallas McLeod intercepted a pass in the midfield and sort of turned the momentum Canterbury's way. And as Canterbury does in that last 20, they did run away with it. And I seem to say that a lot. So it will also rely on the impact of the bench for Wellington to make sure that they match the Canterbury impact. Because Canterbury, man, it's like that 60-minute mark hits and it's just like everything goes up a gear. So it is really crucial that Wellington find a way to match that.
That All Blacks 15 pack.
Yeah. Well, tell you what, the try Burke scored, I think it was Poihipi, made that break. You watch where McAllister came from. He'd cleaned the ruck. It went out here to Poihipi. McAllister pins his ears, gets in support, and obviously was the key link for Burke to score. I felt he made a massive statement that he is right up there as next cab off the rank in terms of that hooking spot. So I was really impressed. I was looking forward to that battle between Eklund and McAllister, and there was some impressive plays from both of them, but that really stood out to me because that was about the 60th minute. He was getting through his work, and then to see that reaction and the speed off the mark still late in the piece like that, pretty impressive.
What do you think, Bryn? Do you think Wellington have got it?
Oh, I think they do. I think they've shown in probably the last two games that they've got the ability to be able to score points. And I think having a guy like TJ Perenata for this week is going to be really, really valuable for that group. He's had success actually winning down in Christchurch and knowing what that's looked like. And I think you know, unfortunately, I think Bay Plenty with Whanganui not being able to get those, accumulate those points, really, I guess, let off the pressure, not being able to have that scoreboard pressure. But I think, you know, with Wellington, if they can get it right, they've got the ability to be able to score a lot of points. So defensively, you know, Canterbury will probably think we've got to be on the job here and really, really good around the defensive system, because also as well, having Tamani Ellison in that coaching environment, knowing what it is to be down in that environment and what it takes to be able to win a game down there, and knowing what that kind of preview and review are looking like, because, you know, Canterbury and the Crusaders pretty much copy and paste around their game plan and how they run things down there. But again, it's going to be a tough task, because, you know, I think I saw a stat, I think they've only lost one finals game down in Christchurch when it comes to a final. So, but if there's ever a time, you know, this Wellington team's going really well. And I think having TJ Perenata and the way that he can influence the game and being able to know in big pressures what it looks like is going to give them a lot of confidence going in for this final.
Wellington are going to need all of their 90-plus percent tackle percentage as well. Because the thing with Canterbury, it's never flash moves or anything. They're just relentless. They will just keep building phase after phase, and then they wear you down. So that battle and Wellington living up to the defensive statistics, they finished the comp. I think they finished round robin in first place, and that was in percentage, but also turnovers. So they're really dangerous from that turnover attack, but Canterbury are second. So, I mean, it's a fitting final, obviously, but it's just that arm wrestle and just hanging in there. Like, they may not get the reward if they go to the corner, but the pressure's built, you're sucking energy out. You know, it'll eventually come, and not getting deflated if it isn't, you know, a big scoreline or, you know, when the game's in the balance, just keeping in their systems, trusting themselves for those long periods of time. It's not easy. One loss, Crusaders, how many? I don't even think they've lost down there in a final, so it is a tough place to go.
Yeah.
Better time of year to go, though.
I think it's the challenge. The challenge will be definitely that last 20 minutes, I think. You know, you look at the rankings, I think Canterbury in the last 20 minutes are the best in the comp at scoring points. Yeah. And so it's because they've got a great amount of depth in that group. You know, you can bring guys on that are, you know, experienced Super Rugby campaigners. You know, obviously Luke Romano, and throughout the season you can bring on.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Has all that experience. So, and you've got Willie Hines or Mitchell Drummond as well. So the experience that they have in that last 20 minutes is very, very, very good. So, you know, if the game's in the balance, you know, the ability that Wellington just need to have that ability to just stay on with everything, whether that be line out more, a scrum penalty in a big moment in a game. It's just having the ability to stay on those moments. And so they've got enough leadership around that group, I think, in Wellington to really to be able to do that. But again, it's easier said than done. Doing it down in Christchurch in the final, it's pretty tough.
22 years since Jonah scored that famous try in the final when they won in 2000. One of the great tries. Was he 60, 70 metres out? Vunenbacher, who had all of that pace.
And coming a big body.
And a big body, yeah, with the big shaft moustache.
It wasn't like a big man on small man.
No, and he swatted him off four or five times and scored in the corner. One of the great all-time tries, not just in the NPC finals, but in the NPC of all time.
Of all time.
Of all time.
Of all time.
What's your favourite NPC final moment?
I was thinking about this, like, naturally, I'll always lean towards 94, obviously Harbour making the finals, so...
just a big fight was
your
favourite.
Yeah, just a good brawl that we didn't, you know, obviously beating them in the round robin and not being able to do it at home in the final was disappointing, but there's that. But I suppose for me, like, growing up, is I don't know if you remember the Otago team of 98, and I just thought one of the most entertaining teams... You had Brendan Laney, who would score and he'd start the chainsaw going. You had Goldie, who was there just doing freakish things. And then Romy Ropati. Yeah. And every time he scored, he'd kick his foot, I don't know how high, sign his name. Like, he was, I don't know, they were just true entertainers that season, and they played that way throughout until the final, and was so clinical, and it was infectious to watch.
Yeah, yeah. What about for you, Bryn?
Oh, I think we'll start off with Harbour, us winning that final, which wasn't a final, but it was great to be have those memories. But I guess for me, it was actually Taranaki and Tasman. About a decade ago, when you had Jameson Gibbs Park and James Lowe playing for Tasman and Taranaki, I just remember that final in New Plymouth and actually watching the scenes of how much it meant to that Taranaki side, and I guess the community down there, and the scenes of obviously a full packed out Yarra Stadium, which was there at the time. So that's one of my biggest memories, watching that game and seeing how much it meant to a community like Taranaki and really getting behind and showing what it is at provincial rugby when you get down to those small communities and how much it means to them.
That was the big underdog final, wasn't it? That was the changing face of the NPC. For a few years, suddenly it wasn't Auckland and Canterbury. You know, I was going to say Wellington, but really, like, Wellington only feature big time every 10 years or so.
I think it was a bold call bringing out the championship when we were trying to talk about the premiership. I love your work, brother.
One of the great.
It was a hell of a drop goal. It was a hell of a drop goal from Gats.
Amazing, yeah. So cool. They were very, very cool. We'll find out soon, maybe from Sean Stevenson as well, what his favourite was. But in the meantime, we've got to bid goodbye to you, Jipper. You've got big stuff that you get paid for well. Because we give you...
I'm just replacing hats. I'll just get another hat on.
So we've got to say goodbye to you. We'll say hello to Sean Stevenson in just a moment. So thanks.
Cheers, mate.
It would be a bit of a punish, wouldn't it, having three Harbour people on the show all at once. So having Jipper go, we'll say goodbye to him. Sean Stevenson, North Harbour, Chiefs, Māori All Blacks, welcome onto the show, mate. We were having a look at some of your stats for the season in the NPC, and it makes pretty impressive reading. You know, let me blow some smoke up your ass just for a second or two. First in carries, this is through the round robin, 130. Third in metres made, 103. Fifth in defenders beaten. You're in all of the top 10 stats in attack, and your D stats as well at 88%. Mate, you must have been pretty happy with how that season shaped up for you, even if you guys didn't quite make it through.
Yeah, we obviously nice to get some stats thrown around a bit, obviously good season. Pretty disappointing that we didn't quite get through the quarterfinal stage, but we probably had a slow start the first couple of rounds, and then we shifted into gear. So that was just nice. We had a pretty awesome team. It was very young, but we managed to do what we did, and throw the ball around. And I hope the Harbour fans enjoyed our style of rugby. So that was good.
Yeah, just on that, Sean, I think, mate, having the likes of Tevita Lee coming back, who was in great form, and I think, Mark Talia, who came back from Tasman Marker, who poached him and stole him from us for 2 years, but he came back and looked like he was awesome, and you guys were obviously arguably the best back three in the comp. What was the conversations throughout the year for you three? Because you guys were so pivotal in that great season for North Harbour this year.
To be honest, mate, there was just a lot of jokes going on between the three of us. Like, we don't really talk about too much about footy. So, Brenda, us three boys, we like to have a bit of a joke and a bit of a laugh. And, so we've had a few things when we're doing our job. So, we just played footy. Like, we just played eyes on footy. And I think when we're all on, like, it's easier for us to... make those breaks or break defenders or do all those players to be just scoring a hat trick every game, credit to our whole back line, and we had players all over the park that made our jobs a lot easier. So it's obviously that cliche, other boys doing their jobs, but it's as simple as that. Boys doing their jobs makes other boys look good.
Just with your form this year, bro, like, obviously have been really lucky to be able to play with you, and have come through when you were younger through Auckland Grammar, and then you obviously went to Waikato early with the Chiefs, but then for whatever reason the last 12 months you've just been a lot more consistent with your footy. Has there been anything different that you've done within the last 12 months, that, because whether it be with the Chiefs, the New Zealand Maldives, Island A, you were outstanding, and then you brought into that form for North Harbour, what's been the difference and change of your preparation maybe with how you've played so well?
Obviously I care, but I think, you know, you get to an age where you kind of just break the jackals off, and that care factor of what people think, and you know, you're, I guess, scared of making mistakes. You know, kind of just, you know, you get to the age where you just kind of break all those jackals off, and that's what I felt like I've done this year. You know, I do care, but obviously, you know, play with a bit more freedom, which, you know, the last 12 months has probably shown that I have been playing with a lot more freedom. And I always get told that word of consistency, you know, like probably haven't had consistent game time, but I feel like the last 12 months, what I've done in those games, it has been consistent footy, and, you know, a lot has been talked about my defence, which was a big work on for me this year, and I felt like I've really stepped up in that facet of play. So yeah, I've been pretty happy with my play the last 12 months. So yeah, just that freedom, I guess.
Seven turnovers too, mate. Like, that's almost matching your career tally, is it?
Yeah, I'm not scared to tell the list for how many jackals I've got this season. So yeah, I'll take those seven.
You came into the Chiefs as an 18-year-old. Like, you were a kid when you first started. You've been around for 7 years now in pro footy, and you're only 25. You must have learned some pretty serious lessons along the way, you know, essentially having been thrown in the deep end. Was that a difficult process to get to where you are now from, you know, being a high school kid playing Super Rugby, essentially?
Yeah, I guess it was pretty daunting, but when I first went down there, I had a meeting with Dave Rennie and Andrew Strawbridge. Those are the guys that got me down there, and I probably don't, you know, I probably had the potential to, you know, rip into it straight away. And I guess it comes back to Brenner's point about why I've been playing good footy the last 12 months. It's kind of, it's just been that freedom, I guess. You know, I've always shown in and out of games and stuff like that, but that consistency where it always comes about you know, coming from an 18-year-old, you know, you had all the skills and stuff like that. But it was just that consistent, consistent game time, I guess, in terms of actually showing it. So yeah, it was obviously daunting, but yeah, obviously you learn a lot in those, well it's coming up to my 8th or 9th season now, so yeah, still feel old but still young at heart.
Just on that as well, bro, because I think, yeah, look, your form's been outstanding. I think, you know, you've been warranted selection, I think arguably for the All Blacks or even the All Blacks 15 that's just been named. For a guy that's obviously been through your situation, obviously playing consistent footy and, you know, not getting the rub of the green of being in select in those squads, what was your mindset when you missed out on that All Blacks 15, obviously with your form and how you were going? Were there any conversations from the All Black coaches or the coaches at the All Blacks 15 level around your missing out on selection?
Yeah, obviously it was pretty gutted. There's, I think, a lot of other boys probably are in the reckoning to be in the team. And, yeah, I obviously gutted, but I didn't have any feedback or communication at all until I didn't make it. So I guess it was just one of those things where you could either dwell on it for a week or two and let it bring you down, or you just, you know, move on and have it in the back of your head in terms of, you know, what's the next best thing for me. And I guess it's one of those things, bro. You've had that done to you before, you know, you've been close to it and gone through it, so why don't you come talk about how you handle it.
Were you surprised?
I guess, you know, a little bit, that's what he is. You know, you're not the ones that are selecting the team and whatnot, and just gotta move on, and like I said, just put your head down and get back into your work.
Obviously, mate, we are big advocates for NRL in this podcast. We love the NRL. Jipper has his segments. He wants segments to obviously be about the NRL, and you know, fortunately, there's been a lot of rumours around, you know, whether it be with the Dolphins or other NRL teams, because you've got a great skill set to be able to fit into that. Are those rumours anything to be taken seriously, or is a genuine option that you're thinking of possibly, you know, seeing other options as well and another code?
No, to be honest, mate, I've still got one more year with the Chiefs. So, at the moment I'm just focusing on that. So, that's all I can say at the moment.
do you actually see it as a viable option going into league once that contract finishes and actually having that as a genuine option post that 2023 with the last year with the Chiefs?
Oh, yeah, I think, like you said, Brendan, like, I think there's about 24 of us boys at Chiefs this year that are playing the NRL fantasy. So it's one of those sports that you obviously, would love to give a crack or like have a crack at it. And yeah, I guess it is an option, after 2023. So we'll see. So I guess it's always been one of those things for me where, like you said, like my school said, I feel like would suit it in a way. And obviously playing touch and tag back in the school days, similar to that. And it's just one of those things that quite a few boys always want to give it a crack, but they talk about it but never do. So never say never.
So can you clarify, have you been approached by the Dolphins? Have you had discussions with them?
Yeah, I've had a chat. This is obviously for after 2023. So, I had a call from Wayne, but,
So that's Wayne Bennett?
Yeah.
What's it like getting a phone call from Wayne Bennett?
Unreal.
Oh, I mean, pretty nerve-wracking. This is probably arguably the best lead coach in this generation. So, that was obviously a bit daunting, but that was cool. Just tune with that. It's good to have a chat with the GOAT, I guess.
What did he want to know about you?
Oh, just what I've been up to. I guess it's talking footy, really.
What position would you want to play? Do you have a preference of, because you can play fullback, you've obviously dabbled in with a little bit of number 10 at Mitre 10 Cup level, Bunnings NPC level. What position would you like to play if you did ever cross codes?
Like to say fullback or a running six, something like that. Use my boot as well. Somewhere along those lines. So, at the moment, just focusing on rugby. So we'll see what happens.
Chipper would kill me if I didn't ask. With the 88% tackle stat and the dominant nature of the tackles, you could bring something really solid to fullback. Chipper's always going on about James Tedesco, isn't he? He's dying to see you tackle in the back of a rugby league field.
Yeah, you asked me a couple of years, I probably would have had a couple of shoulder reconstructions. it's good to get some hits on the shoulders and actually get some dominant ones. So I've been getting enough crapper about my defense from all the Chiefs boys like Brody Retallick and stuff like that. So it's good to have some good shots in there.
Okay, so we'll leave it at a wait and see then and move on from the NRL. Is that's where we need to leave it?
Yeah, done there.
Fair
well
enough.
Done.
Do you have a favourite rugby league player?
Oh, I think you can't go past Benji. Just what he did on the field, just for all Kiwi kids growing up.
Moving towards the NPC, you played against Canterbury and Wellington. Both, I don't actually know if you didn't play Wellington, but you've obviously seen how they've been playing. Who are you picking? What do you think the, who's got the upper route? Who's got the upper hand in that final? How do you think it's going to go?
Oh, I think it's going to be a good game, to be honest. I think Wellington's come a long way. They probably started off slow and just throwing the ball around from everywhere. And they've got game breakers everywhere through their team. So I think that's, they're going to throw everything at the Cantabs. But obviously Cantabs at home, they've classic saying, they've had their finals footy through their blood, so I don't know, it's going to be close, I reckon, but I'll probably pick from when Wellington played Canterbury last. I think Wellington's definitely got a lot better since then, and I think they won it in a close one.
That Wellington attacking structure is pretty crazy, isn't it? Like, they have momentum and they've got weapons. How do you think Canterbury shut down those weapons?
Oh, I think they're just going to go, probably, depending on what the wind's doing down there, probably go back to the aerial game and just slow down all the momentum. Because obviously, ball in hand for Wellington is where they're dangerous at. So, just putting all the pressure on Wellington to, I guess, force them to play. And probably scoreboard pressure, taking the threes and accumulating the points, and then classic saying of just exiting well and getting down there. I think that's probably the best way that, you know, that's how Canterbury plays. So, and, you know, Canterbury always, you know, they're not scared of throwing the ball around either. So, yeah, should be a cracker game.
Nice, nice. Before we let you go, what's the off season got in store for you? Bit of a holiday?
Yeah, bit of a holiday. See what most of the boys are doing. Obviously, you know, some boys are getting away. Try to get away. Might go back to Samoa, where my mum's from. I've been there since 2009, so might head over there and just catch up with family. But yeah, see what happens.
Well, mate, you enjoy it, Shooty. You've had an awesome season, mate. A very well-deserved rest and a few alcoholic beverages at festivals, yeah?
I'm imagining that Brenner is a big rhythm and vines, got to get on the dance floor kind of guy. Does he have good moves?
Nah, he's stiff as. He's real stiff. But he's got good chat. He's got good chat. But, yeah, he's stiff. He's stiff, so...
Awesome, mate. Hey, well, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it and enjoy your time off.
Cheers, team. Thank you very much. And go well for your season in Japan, eh, mate?
Well, not quite going to the NRL, Bryn, but, you know, he's had the conversation.
Oh, he has. And look, I think, you know, it's good for him to be able to, you know, we're players and we have to, you know, put ourselves out there and, you know, having that story out there with, you know, whether he was going to go to the Dolphins. And from what we heard from Sean, you know, he was able to talk to Wayne Bennett, which would have been an amazing call to have that opportunity to talk to one of the greatest coaches of all time. So, yeah, it looks like maybe possibly 2023. The Chiefs are very lucky. New Zealand Rugby, I think, are lucky to still have him around for another year. And, you know, bar an injury and then some more consistency of playing some really good rugby for another 12 months, who's to say that he won't be in that World Cup squad or even the All Blacks 15 moving forward?
Yeah, I suppose it's one of those things that you want to give yourself the chance, right? You'll look back in years to come and go, what if? I might have missed the All Blacks 15. I might have missed the All Blacks, but what if?
Well, that's it. And, you know, he's still young. You know, even, you know, you talked about it, Ross. You know, he came in at an 18-year-old, but he seems, you know, that he's been around for so long that you'd think he'd be 28, 29 with how many years he's played professionally in New Zealand. But, yeah, I think it gives him another 12 months to hopefully crack it and get again with that consistency, playing really well like he has the last 12 months. And then, you know, 26 has the opportunity again to go play for the Dolphins or NRL team, and he's got the skill set to be able to do that. And, you know, it'll be great to see something different. You know, you never see really New Zealand rugby players go and play rugby league. We talked about TJ Petanata a few years ago that he was thinking about maybe going to the Roosters post-Japan. But, yeah, he's one guy that I think would fit in really nicely in a league environment.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see what he'd get up to. I suppose he's bringing in the experience of being a pro footy player. So, as we've seen with people like Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, you can adapt, you know, because you've got that professional mindset and you know how to learn in a professional environment. There's not too dissimilar.
Yeah, it is. And like, it is a different game. And I think there are difficult, you know, the different physical requirements that you will need in fitness when it comes to rugby league. But, you know, look, what's to stop someone from a challenge and something different, you know? And I can imagine the money would be enticing as well. I think they do earn a little bit more money over in the NRL. So, you know, what a great opportunity. You know, he'd still be 26 if he'd been over there, signed a one-year deal, came back, didn't work out. The experience of playing, you know, NRL environment and then, you know, coming back to play rugby and possibly even going to Japan or overseas or trying to come back to New Zealand and play some rugby in New Zealand.
We'll wait and see. The story will be around next year. We'll wait until contract time.
That's it, man. We tried, Ross, but no, he was very well. He got some good PR lessons from the Chiefs.
Yeah, so he definitely did. He left a few through to the keeper. He dead batted a couple. But yeah, fair enough. Hey, mate, well, thank you very much again for today. I'll see you again next week. We can talk a little bit about what happened in the NPC final, obviously the Women's World Cup, and look forward to the All Blacks and All Blacks 15 tours that are coming up. So cheers, mate. Go well. We'll see you then.
Thank you very much. Arigato gozaimasu.
And thank you very much for catching us once again on the Aotearoa Rugby Pod. Remember, do not miss the NPC final this weekend. Canterbury versus Wellington. It should be an absolute ripper. Mā te wā.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.